So without any further ado, I'm going to hand over now to Brother Richard to share what God has placed on his heart for us tonight.
Thank you, Minister Gwen. I hope everyone can hear me. I just want to say greetings to our senior pastor, Pastor Jancy Johnson, and Brother Norman on their sabbatical. And in their place, we've got Pastor Chris and our temporary First Lady, Sister Janice. Greetings in the name of Jesus. And to all the brethren at Rochester, to all those in Wellington, and if there's anyone who's joined us as a guest, greetings to you in Jesus' name. I must also acknowledge the support and the love of my family. I love them very much, and I just thank God for them. And tonight I just want to put our focus on remembering. No doubt we are all aware that tonight is Bonfire Night, and we know where that came from. But we're not here to focus on what Guy Fawkes did do or didn't do. We're here to remember what God has done for us, and He has done great things. We are glad. And so tonight I'm just going to be reading from our two main scriptures, if we can put them up. And my topic to us tonight is remember, remember. And it's not the 5th of November. Okay, we are remembering who God is and what He's done for us. So our scripture is Deuteronomy 5, reading from verse, just reading one verse there, verse 15. And I think I did say the NIV version, but that's fine. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And also Psalm 13, verse 1. And it says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And so, as I said, we're going to be talking about remembering. And as one person actually says, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And that's attributed to most likely the writer and philosopher George Santayana. In other words, if we fail to remember what happened in the past, we are likely to let the same thing happen again. And we have seen stuff like this happen in World War I, World War II. And if you're not careful, we're going to be having a World War III because we just don't learn from the past what we should remember. But tonight we're going to be remembering, you know, what God has done for us. And so we look at the definition that the Oxford Dictionary has given us of remember, and it's in two phases. Definition one, have in mind, or to be able to bring to one's mind an awareness of someone or something from the past. That is to call to mind, to reminisce about, think back to, look back on, etc. And the second definition is do something that one has undertaken to do or that is necessary or advisable. In other words, did you remember to post a letter? Did you remember to do this or that? So the reason I have remember, remember as my topic is that we're going to be looking at remember from two perspectives: ours, God's people, and God Himself. Not that God can forget, but let's talk about how God remembers. So people remembering, our memories are made from past experiences, mainly visual, the things that we can see, and as well as audible, the things that we have heard. And sometimes we get our experiences from things that we can feel as well. I know very well about that because my grandmother's discipline with the belt allowed me to remember some things, and I kept those things in my mind. She said, "If you can't hear, you will feel." And I remember that. And I often tell my children that as well. You cannot be reminded of something that you have not experienced or you're not aware of. To know it once, you have been made aware. You have an awareness of it. To be made aware of the same thing twice, it's a reminder. It means that you must remember it. And oftentimes we see in scriptures that Jesus says some things more than once. He wants us to remember it. So God has been reminding us of some things, his special people, human beings, some things from the very beginning. And this is my imagination, so, you know, don't go telling anybody that it is from scripture, but it is my imagination that, you know, whilst God was walking in the garden with Eden, with Adam in the cool of the day, he reminded him of some of the things that, you know, he ought to do and ought not to do. And one of those things that he ought not to eat from that fruit. Yet still, Adam forgot. And they ate from the fruit, the forbidden fruit. And we went further on to see that after the flood, that God reminded us that he would not flood the earth again. And he put a rainbow in the sky. And I know that we, you know, have seen how they have hijacked the rainbow for their own purposes. But the devil is a liar. The rainbow is for God's people. And God is reminding us that he will not flood the earth again with water. It is for our remembrance. And we go on further to see that as God called Abraham, and he called him to go to a place that he did not know of, God gave him a promise. And after that, he reminded him again and again that you will be a great nation. I'm reminding you, Abraham, the things that I've said, I'm going to do because I am God. You will be a great nation. Your people will be so numberless that so many that you can't number them, like the sand of the seashore, like the stars in the sky. And we continue to see where God gives reminders. As the people of God went down to Egypt, they got captured. They got enslaved in Egypt. And God reminded us and reminded them that he would deliver them. And God seemed to have forgotten them for about 400 years. But then God came through Moses. Deliverance, because God is not going to forget his promises. And God reminds us in two areas, for encouragement or for a warning. And so the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and here they were having a journey to go to the promised land. They were in the wilderness, and at some point they achieved some successes. But they also had some failures. But in those successes, God was saying, remember how I delivered you from Egypt, and I will deliver you again. I'm encouraging you because I am God. I'm the Almighty God. And the things that you have achieved, it's not in your own power. The doors that were open to you, the favors that you had, you did not get them by yourself. It was not your own ingenuity that you achieved those things. It was because I'm God who allowed you to get these things. So keep on trusting me. Keep on believing me because I have the power to help you to do these things. I'm encouraging you. And God is also encouraging us tonight to remember that he is God, that he's the all-powerful God, the almighty God who is the keeper of his promises. He will not forsake his own. He will not forget his promises. Whatsoever he promises, he will deliver it. Remember the scripture that we have read. Remember that I brought you up out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I deliver you from the Egyptians. They were chasing after you, but I delivered you. Don't forget it. I led you through the wilderness for 40 years. They had not gone through the 40 years yet. You know, but God said, all of this, in all of this, I'm reminding you that I'm the one who is going to keep you. The shoes will not wear out. You will have food all the time. You'll not go to bed hungry. But be careful to keep this in mind and do not turn away from me, the Lord says. Do not follow idols. But Israel, the people of God, had spiritual amnesia, short-term memory loss. Just like some of us sometimes, we forget what God has done. We forget that he's mighty. We forget that he's all-powerful. We forget that the things that he has done in the past, he will do it again. He's not a one-hit God. He's not a one-hit wonder. You know, there are some artists who had somewhat one-hit songs. Now, they never had another hit again. But God is not a one-hit wonder God. The things that he has done before, he will do it again. He may not do it in the same way, but he will do it again. And so he's encouraging us tonight that he is still God. He's still on the throne. He's not changed. And he will do it again. But like Israel, sometimes we forget, and we forget God and his promises. And further on, we go on to see that in so many areas, in so many times, that the people of God, they forgot. In the book of Judges, we see, and Israel did evil again in the sight of God. God delivered them, and they repented, and then they went back to it again. And then God kept on warning them, if you don't stop doing what you're doing, you're going to be captured. You're going to be put into captivity. And they certainly did get put into captivity by the Babylonians. And so the second part of remembering is that it is for warning. And you are right on point, Minister Gwen. Revelation 2, 4 to 5. God is reminding the church. He reminded the Ephesus church, and he's reminding us tonight. You have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen. Remember the place that you used to be at. Remember your longing. Remember your yearning for God. Remember how you used to pray. Remember how you used to seek my face. Remember how you used to get into the word. You used to fast. Remember those things. Get back to your first love. Don't forget where you were. Don't forget who I am and what I have done for you. And the songwriter said, roll back the curtains of memory. Any one of you who's been in church for a little while will know this song. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I am human and human forgets. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. Sometimes the memories are painful. But the fact that you are here is a testimony that God is all powerful and is faithful. He reminds us that he gives us, if we give these painful memories to him, they will no longer have any power over us. They will not keep on hurting us. So let us remember who God is and what he has done and what he can continue to do. And the second part of remember is God's remembrance. And this is strange because we see in the scripture in Genesis 31 that God remembered Rachel. It's not as if God can forget, because God is not a man. You know, but this remembering is in the sense that he hearkened unto Rachel. He listened to her after the time that she could not conceive. You know, he began to move things into place for her. And sometimes we feel as if God has forgotten us. And this is where the psalmist found himself in Psalm 13, verse 1, and Psalm 42, verse 9. Lord, how long will you forget me? Sometimes the things that we are going through, I don't know what the psalmist was going through, but it must have been something deep. It must have been something desperate, because the psalmist said, you know, the enemies seem to be oppressing me. And it has been going on for some time. You know, some of the times we feel as if we've been going through a situation for a very long time, and it seems as if God has forgotten us. It seems as if God has turned his face away from us. But God is here tonight to tell us and to remind us that he has not forgotten us. A few weeks ago, Reverend Pate reminds us that sometimes it seems as if God shows up in the church and he seemed to have walked down one aisle and forgot that we are sitting on the other aisle. He delivered some people over on that side and forget that we were sitting on this side. And sometimes it seems as if God does this week after week, month after month, year after year. And some of us begin to feel like the man at the pool of Bethesda, where the angel showed up for 38 years and he seemed to have been forgotten. Nobody remembered to put him in. And sometimes we feel that way, as if, you know, God, you came so many times and you forgot me. And the moment that you change your seat and go over to the other aisle, God seemed to have gone back to the other aisle that you were. And he seemed to have forgotten you. And you're saying, Lord, how long will you forget me? And it seemed as if God might have added injury and insult to injury. Because not only does he seem to show up in church and not remember you, sometimes they show up on your street for the wicked man, the evil man, the man who does not care about him. And they can change their car every year. They can pay their mortgage. They can do all the wonderful things. Their children are not in trouble. You're struggling to pay your rent. You're struggling to replace that banger that you have. Seem like God has forgotten you. And David saw this in Psalm 73. See that these people, these evil people, they have everything that their heart could desire. They're not in trouble like other people. They have everything to their heart's desire. But it seems like I have done everything in vain, but Lord, you seem to have forgotten. But David then said, I went back to the house of God, the same house of God that God seemed to have forgotten me. And I looked on their situation and I remember that they are on slippery ground. And I remember that God says he's faithful to his promises. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And I want somebody to remember this tonight, that God said he will not leave you or forsake you. I needed to remember that God says that though you walk through the waters, it will not overflow you. Though you go through the fire, it will not burn you up. Whatever situation that you're going through, remember that I'm standing with you in this. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the water, because I am there. You may not see me, you may not feel me, because it's not all about the feeling, but remember that I am there. I'm not going to leave you. Remember, I am there with you. And I'm coming down. Those of us who go on holidays, we get on the plane and we come back. We don't know what's happening up there in the cockpit. But sometimes the plane gets to the airport either on time or ahead of schedule or behind schedule. And when that happens, the air controller tells the pilot, you need to hold on, because it seems maybe another plane had gotten there either late or ahead of their own schedule. So what the air controller tells the pilot to do is to get into what is called a holding pattern. And so the pilot will take the plane way around. And so you should have landed at Gatwick or Heathrow, but then it's taking you over to the where you can see Essex and all the other places around, and it takes you around. But you're not knowing that, because he's the air controller is talking to the pilot. He's not talking to you. But the air controller has not forgotten. Though he has put the pilot in a holding pattern, he has not forgotten. And God forbids that the air controller has forgotten, in case he has gone on a bender the night before, in case he got wasted and got into a state of drunkenness that he has forgotten. And even if that's the case, there's a team of air controllers. So if one controller has forgotten to take the plane down, there are other controllers who can take charge. And sometimes we feel as if that God has forgotten us, and we seem to have taken our plan B into action. We put our plan B into action because he doesn't seem to be landing our plane. He seemed to have forgotten us. He seemed to have kept us in a holding pattern. But the air controller has forgotten. You may not hear what he's saying to the pilot, but the pilot needs to stay in that holding pattern until the air controller says it's time to land the plane. When it's time, the air controller will say, it's not dependent on the pilot to do it. Don't take it on yourself to land your own plane. Let God tell you when to do it. He has not forgotten you. He's moving everything into place to land you safely. Because when we take everything into our own hands, we cause trouble. And we see this happening in the Middle East, because Abraham could not wait on God. He thought God had forgotten him. Sarah and Abraham thought God had forgotten them, and they took things into their own hands. And we see this happening in the Middle East right now. Long-term consequences. And so I will end with this. God then came back to the same Israel that were in captivity. And just before they came out of captivity, God said to them through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 49, verses 13 to 16. And he says to Isaiah, tell the people, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Can't imagine God telling you in captivity to sing. But we've been reminded that even in our difficulties today, that we should still pray, we should still give thanks, we should still praise the Lord. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. And God says, tell them this special word. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet I will not. I will never ever forget you. It's in bold. It's in emphasis. It's emphatic. I will not forget you. And this might be a word for someone tonight, a rhema word to you, that you seem as God has forgotten you, just as how Israel thought that God had forgotten them in captivity. They said, God has forgotten us. God is saying, I have not forgotten you, and I will never, ever forget you. Because what? I have inscribed you in the palm of my hands. He did not write it with chalk. He did not write it with pen or pencil. He said, I've inscribed you. I've engraved you. I've carved you. I've etched you in the palm of my hands. Because every day that you wake up, you have to do something with your hands. Are you going to see that your whatever it is in your hands, it's there? God is not going to forget that you are inscribed in the palm of your hands, in the palm of his hands. So take these words tonight as I come down. God will not forget you. His precious promises, he will not forget. He will remember them. He's a promise keeper, Minister Gwen. He's a promise keeper, and he keeps covenant even to a thousand generation. He will not forget you. Remember, remember. God bless you. In Jesus' name.